Thank you all for coming out this evening, this beautiful, gorgeous June evening. And welcome tonight to our Congressional District Number 1 Candidate Forum. My name is Cheryl Butler, and I'm the chair of the Summit County Democratic Party, one of the sponsors of the event this evening. We are also co-sponsored by the Republican Party and the United Utah Party. And I would also like to thank our most important sponsor. I'm a member of the League of Women Voters as well, and I'd like to introduce Jill Lesh, if you would like to just wave your hand and stand up, who's the local branch, our unit of the League of Women Voters. We, if you were at our candidate forum last night in Heber City, you would have enjoyed hearing from all of our Senate District 26 candidates. It was really a nice evening, and I think we'll see the same sort of fun atmosphere here and learn a lot from the candidates that we've got. I'd also like to, before we get started, just really quickly point out that we have some other candidates that some of you might be seeing on your ballots, either in the primary ballot or the general election ballot. And so if you don't mind standing up, Chris Neville, who's running for House District 53. There we go. Megan Miller. There we go. Candidate. And Pat Vaughn with Senate District 26. Did I forget anybody? No, I don't think so. Okay, great. I'd also like to thank the Park Record for being here this evening and helping to document and communicate what's happening tonight to our friends and neighbors in the rest of Summit County. And KPCW, who is here tonight, like they were last night, taping and recording the event. We hope it'll be posted on the website and available so that in case you have friends and neighbors who wish they were here and said, oh my gosh, I wish I had been there. Why didn't you tell me you were going? You can point them to KPCW, and they will be happy to. You'll find it on their website pretty easily, usually. I would be remiss if I didn't remind you to register to vote if you haven't already done that. There's voter registration forms out front, and or you can actually text to Voterize, and you can register that way. And you know what? Everybody go home and find one more person to register to vote that isn't already registered in Summit County. Just take that on as an action item. The League would thank you. We would all thank you. We really want to make sure everybody gets a chance to vote. And that brings me to another short announcement. This year, if you are here in Summit County, you received a ballot for the Republican primary if you were a Republican. You received a Democrat ballot if you were a Democrat. Unlike some of the other counties, if you're unaffiliated, which is almost 40% of our folks in Summit County, you got nothing, okay? So most of the, well, not most, other counties like Wasatch got a letter in the mail saying, hey, you can vote in the Democratic primary if you'd like, you just need to let us know. Summit County, that there was no such announcement. So if you have friends and neighbors, family members who are unaffiliated voters, like many of our residents in Summit County, please let them know that all they have to do is call the Summit County Clerk or get on their website and ask for a ballot, and they can vote in the Democratic open primary and vote for, in fact, one of these two gentlemen here to my left, as well as Senate District 26 candidates, if in fact they're in that district as well. So if you can help us spread the word, unaffiliated voters can vote. Let me very quickly point out who we have here, and in just a moment we'll give you a chance to introduce yourselves as well. We have Kurt Weiland, who's running for Congressional District 1 with the Democratic Party. Also Lee Castillo, who's running for Congressional District 1 with the Democratic Party. And Eric Eliason with the United Utah Party, also running in Congressional District 1. As a nonpartisan effort, we did invite Representative Rob Bishop to be here with us tonight to represent the Republican Party, and we unfortunately did not hear back from him, so we do not expect him to be here with us. Yes. So, I'd also like to introduce right now Len McGee, who is going to be our moderator for this evening. So, Len, I will turn over the podium to you.
Thank you. My name is Len McGee. I'm on the Executive Committee for the Summit County Democratic Party. The format we'll go through is the candidates will have 3 minutes to introduce themselves. And anybody can submit questions. You've got cards on your chair, so you can do that. They will be timed, and the 3-minute introduction and a 2-minute maximum time to answer the questions. At the end of the 2 minutes, or 3 minutes to begin with, the 2 minutes at the end, you will see an applause sign. And candidates, when you hear the applause, that doesn't mean they like you.
You have stopped.
So hopefully we can keep to that time. What I'd like to do is start the introductions with Mr. Wayland, go to Lee Castillo and Mr. Eliason, and then start the questions. The first one with Mr. Castillo, the second one will start with Mr. Eliason, the third one will start with Mr. Wayland. We'll go in that order, if that's okay with you folks. Okay? All right, so we'll about 6 minutes or so to 8 o'clock, we'll stop with questions, give the candidates 2 minutes to wrap up, and then should be finished by 8 o'clock. So, Mr. Wyland, if you'd like to start with a 3-minute introduction.
If it's okay, I'd prefer to stand. I've got 3 minutes. I'm going to try to divide that into two parts. Number one, to share some background, and number two, to talk about some issues. For those of you I haven't met yet, I am one of the luckiest people on the face of the earth. I was honored to spend 23 years in the United States Army, to lead hundreds of American troops on 2 continents, to teach at the United States Military Academy at West Point. And since I left the Army, I've been able to lead a business here in Utah. It's an international training company. We go all over the world and teach men and women how to lead, how to communicate, and how to take care of their people. On a purely personal note, again, I've been fortunate, I've been honored. 10 days ago, my wife and I celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary. And we splurged, and we went to Arctic Circle. That's background, that's the personal side. In terms of issues, in the last 18 months, we are living in what I would call an issue-rich environment. Just about everywhere you turn, you can find something that's important. In this particular introduction, talk about 3. Number one, access. Access to your representative, illustrated by the fact that we invited Rob Bishop to come, and he didn't come. I believe that the individual who represents you needs to listen to you. And my promise would be that every single month out of that first term, we would have a town hall or a community forum somewhere in the first congressional district to talk and to listen. Access. Second point, term limits. We do not need a professional political class. I suggest 4 terms for a representative, that would be 8 years, and 2 terms for a senator, that would be 12. That's enough. That's all we need. Third issue would be public lands. Our public lands are in danger. They are threatened. No one wants to see a Jiffy Lube next to the Rainbow Arch. And I'm going to beat the clock. I'm under 3 minutes. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lee Castillo. I am honored to be here. Thank you for having me here. Our platform is Utah's for Everybody. And a little bit about me, I'm a 40-year-old resident of Layton. I, out of the two of us, I actually live in the district that I want to represent. I have a foster son, an adopted son. I have a master's degree from the University of Utah. I work for the Utah State Hospital, where I get to work with the mentally ill, severely mentally ill folks, and I help to restore their competency. The reason why I am running is because the social worker in me could no longer stand to see the divisive rhetoric that was happening in Washington. President Trump has said disparaging comments about women, about Hispanics, about Muslims, about the disabled, and I could no longer tolerate it. I can't sit still and not speak out in love against those comments. I can't have my nieces and nephews believing that those things are true. Things that are important to me. I want to make sure that our lands are protected, that we have clean air, clean water. We need a congressman who returns your messages and your phone calls. Congressman Bishop has lied to Summit County before. He has lied and misled the Native Americans and misrepresented them. You guys need an honest politician, somebody who wants to do the right thing, and that's me. I want universal health care. I think that's important. Right now there is, Bernie Sanders has something in the House and Senate, and I would fully support that. I think that pre-existing conditions should not even be an issue. I think that's not even the social worker in me, that's just human nature. And I also think that being stewards of the land is important. And right now we have an attorney general who has taken some steps to ensure that migrants coming across the border are with their children are divided from their children. And I used to work for DCFS for years. And the pictures that I see online, that just looks like child abuse and neglect to me. And I want to see what's going on there. And I want to protect our kids. I stand for our environment. And it's been a pleasure to get a chance to talk to you guys earlier, and I hope to have a chance to talk to you afterwards.
I'm Eric Ewison. I am representing the United Utah Party. I'll tell you a little bit about that in a second. I grew up in, I was born in Burley. I was born in Logan in the district, grew up in Burley in southern Idaho, and went to undergrad at BYU. I did a MBA out at UPenn at the Wharton School. I returned to Utah. Other than a brief stint with McKenzie and Company, I've been in Utah growing companies. And we've grown several companies and had several successful exits. And at this point, I'm an adjunct professor at Utah State, teach in entrepreneurship, and I've taught operations as well there. I was motivated to run after feeling that we don't always have great choices, sometimes, particularly in this state, sometimes it's not a real race. We don't have good competition. And with United Utah coming along, I felt like I could keep the integrity of my politics, which actually fell somewhere in between Democrat and Republican. To tell you a little bit about the platform of United Utah is a very small platform. Some of the things that are there, more compassionate immigration, big supporter of our schools now, campaign finance and term limits, and fiscal responsibility. And so those are some of the things that really matter to me. I'm running on five principles. I think I believe in managing or leading by principle as opposed to leading by party platform. Some of those principles are country over party, that public interest comes before special interest, that we look for common ground and common sense solutions, because a lot of times we don't, we just set up on opposite sides and never really try to listen and look for the middle ground. I believe in stewardship. Stewardship includes fiscal responsibility in terms of the taxpayers' money, but it also involves our environment. One of my motivations is I spent a lot of time in public lands last year, including hiking the John Muir Trail, time in Escalante, and I really believe that we're not taking good care of those lands. I believe in transparency in politics, that we need to, the analogies out there that our congressmen ought to wear suits like NASCAR suits that have the sponsors' names down them, so we know really where those laws are taking place. So those are just some of the things that I believe in and I support.
Thank you, gentlemen. We'll open the audience for questions, if anybody has any. I'm a lawyer, so I hate silence, so I'll start out with a question so other people can think of some. This is a pretty simple question, and Mr. Castillo, you can begin. What do you think about immigrant children being separated from parents, and what's the solution?
I think that it's awful. It's atrocious. I've worked in, again, child welfare industry in the state of Utah for over 9 years. I worked to keep families together. What I see happening, these children that are being ripped away from their families, that's a traumatic event. It's not okay. What Attorney General Jeff Sessions has done, he's made a zero tolerance policy, and that needs to be revoked immediately. It has criminalized migrants just looking to get a better opportunity for themselves and their families, and it's also flooded our judicial system. I don't know if you guys have seen, but they're trying criminally. Migrants that have been imprisoned and at 30 at a time. They have a public defender, and they have 45 minutes to talk to them, and they're all tried at the same time. They're ripped of due process, and that's not okay in America. People have rights. People, those children have rights, and we need to stand up for those children. And create a pathway. I believe in the keeping the promise to the Dreamers and supporting DACA.
Thank you. Mr.
Wise. I think the most important principle here is family first, that we keep the family intact. We need to protect our borders just shouldn't be open flow. I think a lot of us agree on that. There's things that we can put in place there. We do need workers in this country, and a lot of immigrants are happy to come and seek those jobs. But whether for DACA or any other reason, separating families in any way should be out of the question. My frustration is more with the leadership in the Senate and the House, that they're not talking about this. You've got people on both sides of the aisle that are willing to talk about it, want to talk about it, are pushing for it, but we have leadership that's keeping it under the desk. And my hope is going out there and being in a position potentially as a fulcrum or in a leveraged position where I'm on neither party, they can say, look, I'll support a Speaker of the House on this side or this side, but they've got to be able to put these type of things out on the table so we actually talk about them and resolve them rather than keeping them behind the desk.
Thank you. Mr. Whalen.
In one of the great literary works of our time, William Styron wrote a book called Sophie's Choice. Sophie's Choice was to choose which child would live as the Nazis took her into Auschwitz. I do not see a great deal of difference between that kind of a choice that she faced and the choices that young Latina mothers face today. We, every person in this room, come from immigrants. My grandfather came to America when he was 1 year old. He was carried by his mother aboard the immigrant ship. 11 years later, he dropped out of school to work in the quarries in northern Ohio. And 20 years later, he was dead of lung disease. But his was the American story. We must, number one, we need to secure the borders because we do not want young people dying of thirst in the Sonoran Desert. We need to find a way for citizenship for those who are undocumented now, and we need to keep the promises that we made to the Dreamers.
Thank you. questions again, if you want to ask a question, write it on the card and pass it up.
You've got another one there, right?
I've got several. Okay. Next question. Would you support federal legislation? This is a four-part question. Would you support federal legislation to raise the age for gun purchases to 21? Would you make the sale of bump stocks illegal? Would you require universal background checks for all gun purchases? And would you prohibit the sale of fully automatic weapons? Mr. Eliason?
Yes.
All those?
Yeah. That's easy enough. That's if you get on our website and look, we believe that gun owners can play a very significant role in the setting of reasonable boundaries. And the people that we talk to, yes, they do have AR-15s. They do not see the reasonable restrictions are out of line at all. They were proposing restrictions beyond what we ended up putting on our site, as a matter of fact. I think you almost have to carve off someone that goes so far as NRA from a lot of gun owners. And I think we can protect the Second Amendment by supporting. It's like we drive down the freeway and there's a barrier along the freeway. And we can go from Logan to Salt Lake with no accident at all and never hit that boundary once. But it keeps us a lot safer. So that one in a million chance when someone crosses the border and they hit that. So reasonable barriers, these were the same words as House Member Dickey that proposed eliminating funding for the CDC to research this, and then realized that he had made a mistake in doing so. So yes, I do support all of those reasonable bounds.
Thank you. Mr. Whale?
There were four questions. Raise the purchase age till 21, yes. Restrict the sale of bump stocks, yes. Conduct full background checks on every weapons purchase, yes. With all due respect, there's a flaw in the fourth question. If I understand it, you said, would I favor the restriction of all automatic weapons?
Prohibit the sale of fully automatic weapons.
Fully automatic weapons are already banned. The controversy right now is about semi-automatic weapons. A semi-automatic weapon, similar to the AR-15, fires once every time you pull the trigger without having to shift the bolt or pull back on a slide. There are problems with a ban on all semi-automatic weapons. Hunting rifles. The Remington 7400, for all intents and purposes, is identical to the AR-15. Does that mean we allow the 7400 and ban the 15, or do we take out both of them? There are entire cultures in our country that grow up by going out with their fathers and their mothers to hunt. There are families that go to the firing ranges and enjoy the sport. We need to look and examine the exact details and come up with a well thought out program that supports the right of Americans to keep and bear arms.
Thank you. Steve?
So I am pro Second Amendment. I want to make sure that we're protecting everybody's right to bear arms. I would like to ban bump stocks. I do agree that we need universal background checks and in-depth universal background checks, not like closing those loopholes for the gun shows and the private sales. We need to wrap that up. And Mr. Weiland was right. Those fully automatics are already they're illegal. So semi-automatics. I'm going to be candid. I don't like them personally. I come from a gun-loving family. My brother has one. My dad has one. My son went turkey hunting 2 weekends ago. But as a politician, I have to speak for the people. And we're in Utah, and the people that I've been speaking with, they do not want a ban on a semi-automatic rifles. We also have to think about the people in Morgan County. We have a gun manufacturer in Morgan County. If we want to aim to win and defeat Rob Bishop, we have to acknowledge all the people in every district. I am not going to put anybody in Morgan County out of a job, although just because I do not like their weapon. And so I, to answer your question, I don't like them, and I would not, I would listen to the citizens of Utah that have spoken, and I've heard it in my family, and I've heard it on a campaign trail, that that is not what they want at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you support universal health care? And if not, what's your plan to provide health care for the people? Mr. Whalen, I think you're first.
I go first? I not only support universal health care, I support a single-payer system. And I can share two reasons why. I served an LDS mission in England. On a cold winter night, my companion and I were riding our bicycles home. My companion was not watching where he was going, and he rode full tilt into the back of a delivery van. I picked my companion up, dragged him to a health clinic, and they diagnosed him and patched him up and sent him on his way. I paused at the doorway and I said, "What about the bill?" And they said, "All right, lads, no worry." I said, "What about the paperwork?" "It's all right, lads, no worry." This was 1965. They had a system that worked and worked well. Second example I want to share with you. Kathy and I was a young enlisted man in the Army. We were living outside of Fort Gordon, Georgia. Our firstborn son was born there. There were problems with the birth. The Army probably invested $10,000 to $20,000 on tests on Andy and on Kathy and me. When Kathy walked out of the hospital, we paid $5.25. That money was for the cost of her meals. Single payer system works. We've got one now. We need to expand it to all Americans.
Thank you, Mr. Castillo.
I absolutely support the universal health care. The single payer system is something that I would sponsor if it doesn't pass in the House. Bernie Sanders actually has something in the House and Senate right now, and it has over 100, and I think 120 co-sponsors that have helped write the bill, the legislation, and I absolutely support that. I have had conversations with constituents about the pre-existing conditions. I have family members with pre-existing conditions, and having that even being a subject that we can deny somebody insurance or coverage or health care because of something that they could have been born with, your child could have something that's, and you're going to go into bankruptcy because you can't afford the medical bills, I do not agree with that. We need to make sure we're taking care of our citizens. We need to make sure that Utahns are healthy and that there's an option for that. It also allows, having the government system, allows that a competitive market for insurance companies. It keeps them honest. It makes them ensure that they're not gouging you, the constituents, or myself with high rates. And in addition, I think that we need to start looking at pharmaceutical companies and the patents, that 10-year patent that they have. We need to readjust that. I know that they were in discussions of extending that patent, which would allow medications to expensive medications that you need to live, that cost thousands of dollars for people, they would allow that to continue to happen. And that needs to stop. We need to care about our people first.
I think we can universally agree that our healthcare system is substantially subpar, at least in terms of its costs. One of the things we've been addressing with people in the healthcare industry We've been arguing over who's going to pay for health care for some time. And that's what the Affordable Care Act did, is it determined who to pay for it. Well, in the process of that, with a bunch of compromises, the pharmaceutical companies ended up setting a lot of the prices on pharmaceuticals. It further entrenched essentially a health care system that was very expensive and remains very expensive. So no matter how we look at health care, we've got to discuss the underlying costs of health care. I think we've got to find a common ground in terms of doing that. And I'm not sure, the one payer system, it is an option. Another option is that we actually create a free market in healthcare, where you actually see transparency. You know what things are going to cost. There are places where we know people can pay $1,600 for an MRI through their negotiated rate, or they can go and pay $400, and they have no transparency in doing that. So one way or another, we need to go a route that's going to actually take us further, and we're going to have to look for the common ground and take what is realistic, and that may mean each side sacrificing a little bit in order to do that. But it can't be based on campaigns financing the outcomes, lobbyists financing the outcomes of these bills.